Tigers are the new pit bulls, according to an owner quoted in the Huffington Post. Should they be? Yesterday's slaughter of at least 48 exotic animals in Zanesville, Ohio, has drawn attention to the number of exotic animals in Ohio and across the country. A Humane Society report documents 29 cases of people either injured or killed by exotic animals in Ohio since just 2003. Yet in Ohio and 9 other states, buying and keeping exotic animals is perfectly legal. In fact, Terry Thompson, the owner in Zanesville who killed himself after he opened the cages of the animals, had to get a permit for 4 native black bears, but none for his Bengal tigers and lions. Wayne Buscelli is president and CEO of the Humane Society of the U.S., longtime advocate for stronger laws regulating the sale and care of exotic animals. In fact, Wayne, the last time you were here, we were talking about your book, The Bond. You had a chapter about exotic animals in private collections like the one in Zanesville, as well as at roadside attractions.
I had, and I had been talking about kind of the two sides of this equation. I mean, obviously, people who have a tiger or a lion or a chimpanzee or a green anaconda in their home, they're drawn to the animals. The problem is it's abusive and impossible to maintain these animals in that sort of captive setting. It almost always turns badly for the animals.
Well, animal activists are outraged. Many of the animals, as we said yesterday, were simply standing outside their cages, and yet when officials came up, I think everyone agrees they had no choice but to shoot them, because if a Bengal tiger gets into the neighborhood, that's not a good thing. It's the safety of the populace. Everyone knows that. But talk a little bit about the laws, because we understand that the owner had to license, according to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, had to license native species but didn't have to license any exotic animals. Who's keeping track of these exotic animals?
Well, this has been an ongoing concern. We have been shouting from the rooftops. We have been, creating a clamor in Ohio. In fact, we negotiated a major agreement with the former governor, Ted Strickland, and with leading agricultural groups in Ohio to address this problem very directly. And there was an emergency rule approved by the governor, put onto the books in January of this year, but it had to be affirmed or extended by the current governor, John Kasich, in April. He chose not to extend that, and that left Ohio without any laws governing the private ownership of dangerous exotic wild animals.
Well, in fact, I'm reading in the Cleveland Plain Dealer in an April article that Kasich's administration said that the Department of Natural Resources will eventually regulate how these animals are kept. That was their decision. And, I have to say, Wayne, in the comment section that follows, there's a healthy debate. There were a lot of Ohioans who felt that this was a freedom issue. People should have the right to keep whatever kinds of animals they want.
Well, I think they're in the distinct minority from a variety of perspectives, public health and safety, from an animal welfare perspective, just good common sense. It does not result in good outcomes to have these dangerous animals, in your home. These law enforcement officials could not consult their police manual on how to handle this situation yesterday. They're at risk. The schools were closed. I mean, what part of this is not perfectly clear to any observer?
A couple questions. First of all, you mentioned roadside attractions. There's a difference between the roadside attractions, sort of the homemade zoos, and people like Terry Thompson who have these animals in their private reserve. We understand there is some regulation of the roadside attractions through the federal government.
It's very limited. These animals really fall into a regulatory limbo at the state level, with the Departments of Agriculture dealing with traditional livestock like cattle and pigs, and the state fish and wildlife agencies dealing with native wildlife species. The feds do have some limited authority, but the standards are very weak.
We're looking through page after page of a posting on your website of people who are charged with animal abuse and other infractions of federal regulators who go to some of these roadside attractions and cite them, and nothing happens. I mean, Terry Thompson, the man who killed himself, it's now been confirmed, in Zanesville, had been in prison for a year. I'm wondering who was taking care of those animals, but that was just the past year. In 2006, he was also under house arrest for animal abuse. So it doesn't seem as if, even when somebody is watching over it, anything comes from that.
This guy should not have even have had a dog or a cat, no mind 56 large exotic animals. I mean, he was convicted of animal abuse. He had just served a year in jail for illegal firearms possession. Neighbors were complaining. Animals were getting loose. I mean, this guy was a reckless actor, but that was permissible to some considerable degree in Ohio because there were no standards. You know, the rule that we worked with Governor Strickland to pass stipulated that no new exotic animals could be acquired by people for private ownership. But it stipulated, of course, because there are so many of these exotic animals in Ohio, that there was no place to put all the current crop of animals, so people could be grandfathered in and they could maintain their animals, except if you had been convicted of animal cruelty. So if that Strickland rule had been in place, this man would have had to relinquish his animals on May 1st of this year if the law had been enforced.
Meanwhile, what do other states do? Do they simply ban the ownership? How do other states regulate?
It's a real patchwork. There's a federal law that we at the Humane Society of the United States worked to pass in 2003 to ban the interstate transport of big cats for the pet trade. We are now trying to push legislation in Congress. It passed the House last Congress, but was blocked in the Senate, to stop the interstate transport of primates for the pet trade. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is considering a rule right now to stop the import of 9 large constricting snakes into the United States. There have been a number of incidents of toddlers and others being killed by Burmese pythons and other animals kept as pets. In terms of the states, about half the states have rules to prohibit keeping big cats, bears, and primates. The other half, some have no rules at all, like Ohio, and others have very modest standards of licensing and an occasional inspection.
You mentioned the laws governing interstate commerce. What about online? You can go online. We're not going to name the websites, but we found one that offered a full tiger pack, including a 5-month-old female, a Hello Tiger guide, an ivory collar, allegedly worth $1,200, and 3 tiger toys.
There's a robust commerce in exotic animals, and there are large exotic animal auctions, and people can acquire just about any kind of animal. Now, the animal may go into a home. It may go to a captive hunting facility to be shot in a canned hunting situation. It could go to a roadside menagerie. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, we at HSUS had been working hard on dogfighting before the Michael Vick case came to light, but then suddenly, a big spotlight was shined on the problem with the Vick case. Maybe this case will be the one that shines a spotlight on something that we've been clamoring about for years, this unregulated, inhumane trade in exotic animals for a variety of purposes, including for use as pets.
And we should mention, of course, and unsafe. Can't even imagine what might have happened if those animals had gotten to humans. Wayne Pacelli, President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. Wayne, thanks as always.
Thank you very much.